Okay, we're going. All right, we want to go, Lord, in prayer on this pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday night service. So much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
So many needs out there. Father, we thank you to be in your house tonight.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, for Ashley and for Caden and Carter and Brother Ed, myself being here, Lord. Just a small group. But Lord, we're here because we want to be here. We love you.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray you'd bless your children. Lord, a lot of people tomorrow, Father, they won't think they've got anything to be thankful for. But just waking up in the mornings enough to thank God for. I pray for people tomorrow, Lord, that their mind will be turned to you. Even though we just use one day a year to call it Thanksgiving, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be thankful, Father. I actually just mentioned about our little boy, Carter, having Crohn's disease, Lord. We put him in your tender care.
Yeah.
Ask you, Lord, to minister healing to him. Ask you, Lord, to deliver him from that and heal him of that and give him your blessings, Lord. And Father, we got a lot of churches today, Lord, that are struggling. And Lord, we pray for them, Lord. I pray they'd not give up. I pray they'd be more determined than ever. Keep going for God. I pray for this great nation, Lord, you raised up. Lord, you've evangelized the whole world with America. And Lord, even though it's in bad condition, Lord, it's still bearing fruit. And I pray for America, Lord. I pray, Lord, it would return to what made it great. I pray it would remember, Lord, the mercy and grace of God that allowed it, Lord, to come to be. I pray for this country, Lord. I pray for our leaders. I wish they'd repent. And I pray, Lord, a Nineveh repentance upon America. Lord, help those that are sick. Help those, Father, that are without. I know right now, Lord, people are living under bridges. And Lord, just walking down the highways, not knowing what to do or where to go. I pray for them tonight. I pray, God, Lord, you'd meet with them, Lord, and comfort them and help them, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for those that are sick tonight, Lord. You're the Lord God that healeth us. And I pray, Lord, you would heal them and help them, Lord. Help them, Father. I pray, Lord God, for Sister Joanne Smith tonight.
Yes.
Lord, still recovering from her fall. We pray for Sister Joanne tonight, Lord. I pray, dear Father God, Brother Mark and Sister Kay. Mark recovering from surgery. And Sister Kay, Lord, is recovering, Lord, from Lord, iron being low. We pray for them. I pray, Lord Father, for Kevin. I pray for Billy. I pray for Denise. Pray, Lord, for Bonnie and Patty and Mark. Pray for their mother. Lord, I pray, Lord Father, for Sister Brenda Goff tonight. Lord, she said she's not been feeling well. We pray for her. I pray for Brother Donnie. Lord, I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Lord, so many, Lord, that are sick tonight. Lord, help them, Lord. Help them to get better. And Lord, bless our efforts tonight, Lord, as we thank you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're in Job chapter number 32. And this is Elihu. He's not been mentioned until now. Elihu. He's a young man.
Yeah.
And we'll go back, Job chapter 2. Job's been running the gauntlet of accusations. In Job chapter 2, verse 9, Job's wife says unto him, curse God and die. On down verse 11, Job's three friends come to see all the evil that was come upon him. Eliphaz, Temanite, and Bildad, and Shulite, and Zophar the Naamite, for they made appointment to come and to mourn with him and to comfort him. And Job said there's miserable comforts to him, yeah. Miserable comforters. But this boy here, he just shows up. Elihu says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Bacurel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram, against Job. Was his wrath kindled? Because he justified himself rather than God, and that is a bad thing. We're just because of the Lord.
Right.
The Bible says that our righteousness but filthy rags, man his best states, vanity, altogether vanity.
Yeah.
But according to Elihu here, Job is justifying himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. This is a young boy, like I said. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Now Elihu, I don't know what he's so mad about, but he's mad. And Elihu, the son of Becharel, the Buzite, answered and said, "I am young and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you my opinion." Mine opinion. "And I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and there is. Mm-hmm. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Now he shouldn't have said this, but he says, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." Now remember, this is a young boy. Verse 6, he said, "I'm young, and ye are very old." And he's telling these older guys, which have done forgot more than he'll ever know.
Right.
He's telling Brother Ed, "Great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand." You know, I'm going to stop her just a minute. I remember growing up, Carter, I thought I knew it all. Mm-hmm. And when I got a little older, I wished I'd listened more to my mom and dad. They truly did know more than I realized at the time. But younger people need to listen to older people. Mm-hmm. And they need to realize older people have learned a lot in the years that they've been living. And younger people can learn a lot from older people if they just listen to them. He said, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." He said, "Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words, lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man." He said, now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. These are older men. And Carter, they're noticing this young man speaking.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, like me and Brother Ed, he'd been better off just kept his mouth shut. Nobody knowed how stupid he was. You know what I mean? They were amazed. And they answered no more, and they left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It's ready to burst like a new like new bottles. In other words, he said, I'm about to blow up. With what I've got to say. And you know, young people, and I'm not picking on these two young boys here tonight, but I was young once myself.
Yeah.
And in an effort to get a word in, sometimes you'll open your mouth, you've been better off, you just waited about 2 minutes, you got your answer.
Yeah.
But this boy here is like that. Elihu, he's in a hurry. He said he's about to blow up. He said, behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It's ready to burst like new bottles. He's about to bust. He said, I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's persons. Neither let me give flattering titles to men or unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken unto all my words. Behold, I have opened my mouth. That's a problem right there, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
He opened his mouth. My tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He's right on the money right there. He said, If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. He said, Behold, I am according to the wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay, and we are.
Yeah, right.
Behold, my terror shall not make me afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon me. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean, without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me, he counteth me for his enemy, he putteth my feet in the stocks, he marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. And that is true.
Amen.
He's hit a few things here right. He said, Why doest thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. That's true again. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and stumbling upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. You know, what he just said right there is true. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream. Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Mm-hmm. And God used those two dreams to save Israel in the drought of Egypt. And he used those dreams in Nebuchadnezzar's day there to show him that he was God. But God does speak lots of times in a dream. He said that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He chasteneth also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul a dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away. I went through some of this today. I didn't eat nothing all day long.
Wow.
And I just didn't feel good all day long. But he said, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. I didn't drink no coffee this morning. I know that's bad. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his brightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And I'm glad God did give us a ransom. Let me read this real quick here.
You know, you're talking about speaking when you're real young. I remember the story you told when you first got saved. You wanted the preacher to answer a question.
Yeah, he's up there preaching like it.
Yeah, you know, and you was just young in Christ, and you didn't
know nothing.
Yeah, you didn't know better. Yeah. Even though you were old in body, your mind was still a babe.
Glad he had grace about him. He didn't make no big deal. He said, Brother Eddie.
Brother Eddie,
I'm preaching right now. We'll talk later. I said, all right, Brother Rick.
Yeah, he's a graceful man anyway, though.
Amen.
You've got to know him, too.
That ransom, verse 24, said, I have found a ransom in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, who giveth himself, talking about Jesus, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One of these days all this will make sense. Right now it's kind of muddy.
Yeah.
But the Bible said we'll have perfect knowledge and understanding when we get to heaven. We'll understand this ransom a whole lot better. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, who can give God a ransom for his soul? We can't. But Jesus gave himself a ransom for all.
For our soul.
Yeah.
Yes.
Verse 25, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth. I'm looking forward to that, Brother Ed.
Yes.
We get to heaven, praise God. We'll get our strength back and our youth back. Amen. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job. Now this is a young boy speaking to an elderly man. Mark well, O Job. Hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. Now this young boy couldn't justify Job if he wanted to.
No.
But he's saying things that he thinks that he knows about. He said, if not, he said, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Yes.
God gave us two ears, Carter. How come he gave us two ears?
So we'd listen.
He wants us to listen twice as much as he wants us to talk.
Yes.
We got one mouth to talk with and two ears to hear with.
Mm-hmm.
But the ear, the Bible says, trieth words as mouth tasteth meat. Have you ever just barely heard something? I mean, you just hear this little and say, what was that? You go like this right here?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way the ear works.
Yeah.
It can hear the faint. It can hear, you know, the loud. It can hear the soft.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good.
Mm-hmm.
For Job have said, I'm righteous, and God have taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job who drinketh up scorn and like water? That's a very true statement.
Yeah,
Job allowed his friends just to walk all over him.
Uh-huh.
He said, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with the wicked men. for he hath said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work, you know, the Bible says God's a pure eyes and look upon sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know how to describe that. But we don't have no problem looking on sin. I think we might even do it too much.
Amen.
But it said the Almighty that He said here God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity? The Bible said God is light, in him is no darkness all, no 50 shades of gray with God. And it says if we want to have fellowship with him, we've got to walk in the light. He's in the light.
Yeah.
We can have fellowship one with another. Verse 11, the work of a man shall be his render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment, who giveth him a charge over the earth, or who hath disposed the whole earth, the whole world. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and a man shall return again unto the dust. And again, those are true statements. We will return to the dust it gave us. Of course, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. And we ain't got anything to do with the grave. We ain't got anything to do with the dust.
No.
Eternal life doesn't stop anywhere.
Right.
We just go from this world to the next, from this body to another.
Amen.
But he says, if he set his heart upon man, wait a minute, I might have missed one. Here we go. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words, shall even he that hateth right govern, and will thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, you are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor? For they are all the work of his hands. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight, and shall pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into the judgment with God. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number, and shall set others in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him.
Yes.
And would not consider any of his ways. You know, the world, God gave the world a choice and a chance.
Yeah.
Some people just don't want. They don't want to hear. They don't want to try to give the Lord a chance. I took my wife to the doctor, I believe it was yesterday, and guy come in there in that waiting room, had a big shirt on, said, "I've been born again, let me tell you about Jesus." I said, "Hallelujah, how you doing, buddy?" We just said it right off the bat. His name was Jim, and boy, we had some good fellowship there in that waiting room.
Good deal.
But the world, they don't want to do with God. The Bible says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They want to live their life their way, and God allows them to do that. But one day they're going to learn they made a terrible mistake there. Let's see here. Where was I here? I ain't real sure.
Probably about 15, wasn't you?
Said he striketh them as wicked men,
yeah,
in the open sight of others, because they turned, it's probably it right here, because they turned back from him, mm-hmm, and would not consider any of his ways. That's it right there.
Yeah.
So that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. Boy, I'm glad the Lord is merciful, kind. I'm glad he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against man, a man only, let the hypocrite reign not, let the people be ensnared. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should it be according to thy mind, he will recompense it, whether thou refuse or whether thou choose. And not I, therefore, speak what thou knowest. Let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me. Job have spoken without knowledge. Now that's not true. And his words were without wisdom. Again, that's not true. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his anxious for wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto his sin, and he clappeth his hands among us, and multiplieth his words against God. Again, this young man here, he's throwing accusations at Job. Job's heard the accusations of his wife. He's heard the accusations of his three friends.
Yeah.
Now he's got another Elihu, and he's coming down on him. And life's like that. There'll be times that you'll wish. Psalms 55, I think it's verse 11 actually, says, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I'd fly away and be at rest. Sometimes you just want somewhere where you can just still away,
be alone with God,
and find some rest.
Yeah.
Life sometimes is tough. But praise God, there's a place called heaven. I don't never want to lose sight of heaven. I don't never want to forget that's my home. No matter how bad it gets down here, it's going to be better there.
Amen.
And when we get there, Brother Ed, praise God, there won't be a complaint one.
No, they won't be.
It won't like we'll get up there and say, if, or but, it'd be none of that.
When he's reading there, while well, going Brenda Rome here, you can't serve two masters.
That's true.
Yeah. That's what you just said there, she said, I agree 100%.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Job, bless his heart, he's been through all of this. Still going, ain't gave up.
Still going.
And we're going to stop right there. I know that's just 30 minutes, but old Brother Eddie, he's down pretty low.
Yeah, bless his heart. He should have stayed. I should have put it out there if we were going to have it tonight because of sickness.
But well,
I need it. I wasn't here Sunday. And well, I tell you what, I was online, but I didn't get to see.
Yeah, the boys back here felt awful for not getting to come, and they've been begging me. And I was like, well,
good.
Sunday night,
I like it.
Canceled, and I was like,
yeah, I like it when they begging.
We can fit it in before Thanksgiving.
Good.
Tomorrow. Yeah, boy.
Good, good. Yeah. Anybody got any questions?
Me.
What you got, buddy?
I was at Mam's house, and I seen a crumbled up Bible sitting on the road.
Well, what do you say?
Crumbled up Bible sitting on the road.
Yeah.
Somebody throwed it out.
Yeah.
So I think they hate Jesus.
They probably do.
Yeah. They sounds like that.
They don't realize just how precious the Bible says in the
lost their way, didn't they?
1 Samuel. It says the word of God was precious in those days.
Or maybe somebody waited over.
Yeah,
probably Jeff is
crumbled. It may not have been on purpose. Sometimes people get talking, leave their Bible on top of the car, and it comes off. Yeah.
Drive off.
Sometimes people just feel lost, baby.
Yeah.
They don't realize they need it when they do.
But it looked kind of like Carlos. It was
Carlos is not. His is at home.
No, it was like that mini one, and that girl gave a mini one to him at school.
You know, Minnie just come out of that. I mean, called a revival, but that's what I called it.
That's good. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good meeting.
Yeah, we just come out of a week's meeting, and you know they was preachers from all over the world there, wasn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Them guys sometimes they lay their Bible up on there. I found one. We went to a meeting like that one time when I was just a young Christian, and this guy had laid his Bible up on the trunk of his car, and he drove off. And I found he was from Texas.
Wow!
And I mailed it to him. I got his address and everything, and I mailed his Bible to him. I said, I found it. I was at the same meeting you was at.
Amen.
And I said, all I need is your address, buddy, and I'll ship that dude right to you. He said, boy, I got a lot of stuff marked in that.
Yeah.
I've done been in it. I know. His Bible was marked up about like mine was when I first got saved.
Amen. My pastor lost his Bible, and a preacher friend of his found it. He said, I ain't giving it back to you. I get all these notes out of here.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Still some of your notes here.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I ain't giving